We are on Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and our focus this evening will be from verses 8 all the way down to verse 12 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Our first point from this chapter was the man, and we said that the man that we're referring to here was Solomon. We believe that he was the writer of this book. He's the wisest, wealthiest, and grandest king in Israel's history. And although many skeptics have questioned this, we truly believe that he is the writer here that's being referred to as the words of the preacher in verse 1, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Another verse that really solidifies this is verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And we might ask, who was the wisest king who ever lived? Who ever reigned in Israel? Who was the grandest king? Who was the wealthiest king? Of course, it was who? Solomon. So Solomon was the man that God has purposed to write this book. And refers to himself here as the preacher. Koheleth is the Hebrew word here, which means a preacher, a teacher, or even an assembler. And really, that's the meaning of the word. Because the assembly or assembles a group of people wherein he could teach the principles of the word of God. Then the second point we have is the message. In verse number 2, the message is simply this. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And we define that word vanity as not only something that's meaningless, but really we highlighted three important things about that word. That it carries the idea, first of all, that it's brief or fleeting, temporary. So that's the first aspect of the word vanity. Like life, fleeting, temporary. But secondarily, the word vanity also carries the idea of something that is hard to grasp or capture. That's where we get the idea of the smoke that comes out of your rice cooker when you open it and then poof, you can't grab the steam that comes out. That's vanity. It's something that is hard to grasp or capture. But thirdly, vanity also refers to the realities beyond our understanding. And so the word vanity there carries the idea as well that we don't have the wisdom. We don't have the full understanding to understand everything that's happening to us. So the intensity here is this, not only it's vanity, but vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. Not only a few is vanity, some things are vanity, but all is vanity. And then we continue, of course, with the third point, the madness. And we're here on this point. We discuss, first of all, from verses 3 all the way down to these verses that we find that the demands for toil is great, but there is no real profit. You keep on toiling and toiling and toiling, but at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of your life, what really have you done? Where will it lead you? What have you accomplished, really? Yeah, maybe a reward. Oh, 30 years of the service, you know, with all your gowns and you know, that's big in the Philippines. There, they have a banquet, you know, and everybody of 10 years, and they go up front and then they pose there with their. That's beautiful, right? That's wonderful. But after 30 years, what? Oh, you resign, you retire. Another guy comes in, takes over your job, and then he erases everything that you have done. All the systems that you think were the best in that time. Now he says, no, that's obsolete. We should change that. 30 years of your work. The demands for toil is great, but there is no real profit. That verse number 3, what profit is a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? But the second thing we realize, that another madness here is the duty for running endlessly is burdensome, but there is no real progress. There are many examples here in creation. Generations. One generation grows old. They die. Another generation comes in. It's like that over and over again. The sun rises, sets. Rises, sets. Dearly beloved, another Sunday is over. In a few days' time, it's going to be August. Isn't that crazy? We have just started July. But the sun, dearly beloved, the sun just keeps on like that. Hastens. It hastens. The word of God says, rises and then the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arouses. Then another example is the wind. the wind goes toward the south and turns to the north, and the wind whirls about continually, comes again on its circuit. Over and over again. Just happens like that. Then the rivers, in verse 7, all the rivers run to the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. It's just like that. It's like the hydrologic cycle. It's not really full. So, the summary here in verse 8 is this. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eyes are not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So not only we have an example or examples from nature, from creation, of this madness that the duty for running endlessly is burdensome, but there is no real progress, but we also have examples in human experience. And the first example we have here from human experience is in verse 8b. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So the first example of human experience is the senses. Senses. Seeing, hearing. Have you noticed that we're never satisfied with what we see? Never. Nothing that we see is enough to make us happy. There's always another movie coming next year. A sequel. Another movie. Have you noticed all of the themes are the same? Just different characters, just different script maybe, but oh, they arrive at the same thing. YouTube, doom scrolling. Your Netflix, oh, an endless movies. You scroll and scroll and scroll, but you realize, what am I going to watch? Your Comcast, your Facebook Reels, wow. You type something there and over, like wow, you can spend the entire night doing it. Just pick a theme. Endless videos. Yeah, when I started to go to the gym, so I had to like see some videos on what to do for safety, for example. Wow. And some people contradict others. What do I believe in these things? Oh, you want to really make your big. This is what to do, you know? Oh, wow. Thousands of videos on what to do. But my biceps still remained the same after all the scrolling. It didn't add to my muscle. Seeing. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. But also, another sense is hearing. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. There are always more things that we want to hear, nor the ear filled with hearing. Look at Proverbs 27:20. Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. So the sense of seeing there, never satisfied, but the Koheleth here, the preacher adds, also hearing. And with hearing, of course, we understand that our ears are also never satisfied with many things that it wants to hear. I mentioned iTunes last time, podcasts, music, political commentaries, conspiracy theorists, influencers of different kinds. Pick whatever aspect you may want to hear. It's all there. And it's endless. And have you noticed that the logarithm is working for your, I may say, advantage, but maybe really disadvantage? Because now, instead of you said, I'm going to sleep 8 hours tonight, oh, thank the Lord, I was able to finish all my chores. Oh, no. Because you're there in your bed, in your phone, in my phone, scrolling and listening. And then little did you know, 2 hours! Never tired of hearing. So in human experience, we have this toil. We have this endless running It's burdensome, but there is no real progress. But not only that, we have examples in human experience that we see this in our senses, in seeing, in hearing, but also in human history. Human history. Now we are on verses 9 to 11. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 9 to 11. What does Qoheleth say? That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Again, highlight that phrase. There is nothing new under the sun. One commentator said this. For our modern use of this phrase, we often use it to refer to the monotony of life. The constant waking up and laying down, the repetition of life, and that all our experiences are similar to all our previous experiences. Tedious repetition, boring, lacking in any variety, a numbing, ponderous drab, and wearisome experience. That's the point here of Qoheleth. Which has been is what will be, which is done is what will be done. In other words, there is really nothing new under the sun. There's really nothing new here on the earth. Have you noticed that history just continues to repeat itself? Yes, there are differences in maybe the characters. Maybe there are differences in the situation, the venues, the names maybe. The dates, maybe, right? But if you look at the context, if you look at really what's happening, you see that, oh, something like this happened already in the past. It's almost the same. You know, maybe it happens in the Philippines, but, oh, it happened already in India before. And over here, Qoheleth says that nothing is new under the sun. Yes, the year may be different. The characters may be different. The venue may be different, but there is really nothing new. People come and go. Early this year, on my feed came out the memorial portion of the 2026 Oscars. Usually every year, they honor all of those who have been a part of the movie industry in a form of a video, where they show their pictures of all these people who have gone through the industry, 2026, who died in 2026 or 2025, the year before. So, like, oh, interesting. Okay, who died? I don't really keep up with Hollywood. So, who died? You know, I don't even know more than half of those people who died. I know a few, like Diane Keaton, if you know her, or Robert, I listed his name here because I remember him vaguely. Robert Redford. Some of you might know him. Yeah, some of you are 120 years old. Okay. Diane Keaton died. But names like Claudia Cardinale, I haven't heard of her name. Clive Revel. I said, like, wow. And most probably some of these movie actors who are new, they're watching, like, you know, maybe they also say, who is this? You know, people come and go. People come and go. Years ago, there was this mayor and everybody forgot him, forgot her. This prime minister forgot him, forgot her. Nations rise and fall. Wars start and finish. Peace comes and goes. Inflation increases and decreases. Evil rulers rise and fall. Good rulers rise and fall. Sports teams wins and loses. I heard somebody tell me that they have kind of like had a projection that in 10 years time, Australia will win the FIFA World Cup. You know, but that's just about it. You win, you lose, you win, you lose, no matter how hard you cheer in front of your television screen. It's just the same. There are people who win and lose. Brands come and go. Remember the brands that you loved 10 years ago, but now doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah, well, I love those brands because they're really nice and soft, but now they're bankrupt or they're finished or another brand bought them and so they just totally changed their line. I remember when I was a child, there were children stuff that were produced like little snacks, you know, and now they're a thing of the past. And when I go back home and ask, do they still have it? Oh no, they don't have it anymore. Some, they still exist. Like Kropik. Oh, I cannot forget Kropik. Kropik is like a prawn flavored snack that's really crunchy. It's yellowy. It's very unhealthy because it's not real, you know, prawn. But you just grew up eating it. But more brands come. The same kind. But the brands that you know before don't exist anymore. But the human heart stays the same, doesn't it? Deceitful and desperately wicked. And so what does Qohelet say about this? In verse 10, he even considers, he even asks you, he even asks me, is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? He considers for a bit. Okay, let me ask you. I say this, that thing is new. But how about you? Do you think you can say, oh, see, Jan, this is new. Solomon, this is new. But then he asks you quickly, but he also gives his answer quickly. He doesn't give you space to answer. He concludes, yeah, it has already been in ancient times before us. He concludes, there is really nothing new. The answer is no. It has been done in the past. So that verse 11 says, there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. In other words, what Qohelet is saying here, we are all bound to have a disease called historical amnesia. Historical amnesia. By the way, that's not my term. I just copied that from somebody I read. And very interesting. Historical amnesia. We forget what happened in the past. We forget, that's it. You know, recently the United States of America celebrated their 250 years of existence. Wow. Amazing. They celebrated and highlighted their greatness. They proclaim they're the greatest nation in the world, like over and over and over again in their program. And I was thinking there, I mean, no offense against America. I have family there and I've stayed there and I love a lot of America. But, dearly beloved, there are many greats. There are many great nations and kingdoms in the past. The British Empire, for example. In terms of land and influence in colonizing, the Roman Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire. You've heard the story with Daniel. Egyptian kingdom. The point is this, people forget. Someday, we will also forget. Decades or centuries from now, we, in 2026, will be the former things. Now we're talking, oh yeah, we're talking about the former things. 2000, yeah, I was there. I remember when they were like very, very scared what will happen to the computers when 1999 will become 2000. Remember that? We are the ones remembering that. But someday, another group of people will be remembering us. Oh yeah, during that time, Pastor John was preaching through Ecclesiastes. You know, 40 years from now, maybe, if the Lord tarries. That's what will happen. Our newest inventions now, our newest techniques now, our newest knowledge now will be ancient and will be forgotten in the future. One day, we too will be forgotten. Centuries from now, the common experiences of our own time will be among the former things that are mentioned here in verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things. Yes. What we have accumulated will be lost. What we have accomplished will be forgotten. Our descendants will not remember us any better than we remember our ancestors. Eventually, when things that have yet to happen are forgotten, those people will no longer be remembered either. The generation of my grandpa and my aunts and my uncles, they're big with their generation, of course. When I was in Cebu, Cebu is a nearby island to another island called Bohol, where if you've researched, it's an island where you'll find the smallest tiny monkey. We call the tarsier. Really small. Maybe just like that. Small. Big eyes. And it's also a land where you find the chocolate hills. Wherein there's hills, but if you look at it, they're like chocolate. You're going to eat it. But don't eat it. It's sand, of course. But it's like chocolate. And they told me, Jan, we have relatives there. You have your grandpa there from this side of the family and grandmother. I said, okay. I went to Bohol and you're there already. Go to them. Like, you know, what they were so focused on. The next generation, I don't really know them. There are no grandpa and my aunt and my cousin. No, they're really good. They're really nice people. I don't contest that, but I just, you go. That's your batchmate. You know? See, there will be no remembrance of former things. When they talk to me about what they did in the past when they were children. Nice story, Mom. Nice story, Uncle. Lovely. Wonderful. Okay? No remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after. One author, Ryken, said this, the same memory failure happens at the individual level. There are many things we find hard to remember, the experiences of early childhood, for example, the math skills that we learned last year in school. Some of you like, yeah, I've learned that somewhere, but I forget now. What was that again? Right? The place where we last saw whatever it is for which we are looking for. It is hard to remember. Soon most of us will face the memory loss that comes with old age. Some of you are there already, I'm sorry to say. When our own experiences become inaccessible to us. And here the questions he poses. Will we still be who we are when we have all forgotten who we were? Or will every last memory of us be forgotten? This is the part of the weariness of life. That there is no remembrance of former things. On a personal level, dearly beloved, some of us suffer the pain of seeing a loved one or loved ones who succumb to, for example, Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's, a progressive, irreversible brain disorder that slowly destroys memory, thinking skills, the ability to carry out simple tasks. You know how it is. You know, maybe grandparents or parents maybe, or a friend. They can't remember even their very own family, their wife, their husband, their address, where they worked, their education, their friends, their history. Having no remembrance of things, whether due to a disease or a fast-paced generational change, is what we see around us. And that's what our experiences will be. There was a powerful alto in our church choir in the past. When I was starting to be a choir member, wow, she can carry a choir, even though she's the only alto. Powerful alto. Of course, when we were growing up, she started to really get old. Eventually, she became what we call a shut-in, because she's became a part of the prayer sheet where the heading is shut-in. People who can't go out of their homes, that's what we call them there. And the visitation minister will visit them. And one time, the visitation minister of our church invited me to go with them, knowing that I was a part of the music ministry, the choir. And he said, oh, yeah, Nanay, yeah, I remember she was alto. You want to come? Yeah. We went there. Sino kagani? She asked, who are you again? But our visitation minister visited her just a few weeks ago. Doesn't remember me. Doesn't remember even her children. Her daughter was there taking care of her. She calls her as if she's the maid. Hoy! Where's my daughter? Mom, it's me. No. Wow. Sad reality. person is totally different. But dearly beloved, what's the comfort? Where can we find the joy in all of this? When Kohelet said that there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after, what kind of comfort that a Christian like you and me can hold on to? Thankfully, dearly beloved, we do have comfort. The Word of God has given us hope. First is this, that we may forget, but God does not forget. God does not ever have historical amnesia. God will never have degenerative diseases in the brain. God will never ever lose memory. And here are a few passages that we need to go to have this comfort in our hearts. And whatever you're doing for the kingdom of God today will never be forgotten. Whatever you're doing now with your family, your investment of the Word of God, your investment of spiritual disciplines like prayer and reading the Word and going to church will never be forgotten. God does not forget. Isaiah 49 is our first passage, dearly beloved. Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. And yes, we have seen that, maybe with other people's experiences, or maybe you have read stories about it or news about it. Yet here is God speaking, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The dearest of our friends, the next generation who will not care about us, may forget us. What we have done, what we have experienced. We only have what, 70 years, 80 years with good health, and then we're forgotten. But God does not forget. We are inscribed there on the palms of His hands. Hebrews 6:10 is another passage that we can go to tonight. Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about the need for maturity. And here in verse 9 all the way down to verse 20 of this chapter is an exhortation to maturity. But here in the beginning of this passage, we are reminded that God, in verse 10, is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And what a great comfort that is. Can a company where you work can give you that assurance that what you'll do here in the company will be remembered forever, Jan? You work with us? Oh, your name will be etched there and you will be not forgotten. Can a company, a school, an employment give you an assurance of that? No. But here God says, He is not unjust to forget your work. Whatever you have done for the kingdom, your labor of love, all the sacrifices you have done because you love God, because you love His people, what you have ever have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, that will never be forgotten. Isn't it amazing? Psalm 9. Psalm 9:18 says this, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish, forever. Who is doing here the action of not forgetting the needy? It's God. In other words, God is saying here, all those of you who are needy, those of you who know you need me, you need God in your life, you will not be forgotten. And then another verse in the Psalms, Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 26. As we are reading this verse as a final cut to this concept that God does not forget, we may ask the question, why does He not forget? And this verse answers that question. My fail and my heart both may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So why will not God forget? Because God, it says here, is our portion forever. Another way of looking at it is that He is our inheritance. When we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have received not just money for an inheritance, not just property or land. We have gotten God Himself. And we belong to Him. So that the second point here, the second comfort, is not only that God does not forget. You are etched in His hands. Your labor is not forgotten. You're needy. You will not be forgotten. God is our portion forever. Why? Because God knows His own. God knows His own. And for this, let's go to the writings of the Apostle John. When John wrote this epistle, he included many teachings of Jesus Christ, just like Matthew. And here in John chapter 10, we see the Lord Jesus Christ teaching about Himself as the good shepherd of the sheep. We don't have the time to expose the entire chapter here, but let me just point out two passages, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. And I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, and even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. God will not forget you, but also God knows you. The Father knows me, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. If you jump to verses 27 and 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, of course, I understand that this passage talks about more of salvation, that you don't lose your salvation. You are secure in the and safe and secure in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ holds you, and the Father holds His hand there. And so you're secure there. Nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand, snatch them out of the Father's hand, He says. But I want to highlight as well, not only because we're saved, we're eternally secure, but that also the knowledge here that Jesus Christ mentions. Know here is to mean intimacy. Know here is to mean that I just not know things about you, but He knows us in the deepest sense of the word. He's a relationship with us. He has some sort of a personal relationship with us. And that's what the word know here emphasizes. I know them. So that the result of that is that if Christ knows us in that way, we will not be forgotten. He knows us and He secures us so that for all eternity, we will be with Him. And that connects the third point here in the last. The last comfort is this. In the land of forgetfulness, what's the comfort? This is not our home. This land of forgetfulness, where people forget, Well, people will not remember you and all you've done. Well, someday we will be in our home where our God and Savior and our King does not forget. Revelation 21:23. We were just there in this chapter a few weeks ago. And it's so precious that we can connect Ecclesiastes to our study in the book of Revelation. Revelation 21:23. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. Jump to chapter 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What's the point here? Remember that phrase, under the sun? Everything is under the sun? Well, that is that side of life. Under the sun, that physical sun, everything is like this. We are in the land of forgetfulness. But remember, there is another source of light on the other side of the sun. Above the sun. Bigger than the sun. Brighter than the sun. Eternal. Not like the sun that someday will be destroyed. And on that side of eternity, there's a city when there's no more degeneration of the mind, of the memory. There will be no forgetfulness there, because God leads us for all eternity, wherein He remembers us, He knows us, and He keeps us secure. So that's the comfort. Someday we will be snatched out, we will rapture out of this land of forgetfulness. And that's our great comfort, dearly beloved. That's our hope. That when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we'll be taken out of this land, of this earth, our temporary abode. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope that as we look into this book of Ecclesiastes, we will not be so discouraged. Oh, so that's what life is really. Yes, here on earth. But be comforted that the life awaiting us is far better than the life here that we are living.